Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
Jim Norton.
Hello.
Can you hear my beautiful voice coming through your headphones right now? Are you all set?
I like to turn it up just a little bit.
Just a little more.
A teeny bit, yeah. If you wouldn't mind. Yeah, yeah. Just a little more juice.
There's your juice giver. There's your juice maker.
How humiliating. It's right in front of me. I do radio too,
and I'm like, where's
the
button? You're a radio guy.
I know, I'm a
fool.
Follow
the cord. Hey, Jim Norton, hello.
Hello.
It's been a minute.
It's been so, too many minutes.
I haven't been here in a while. I don't come out here as often. I'm always, like, I was just telling Brian, I'm always tired, and I'm kind of out of whack when I'm in San Francisco, so I come out maybe once every 18 months.
Right. It's been a little bit of time.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, look at you go. Just go, go, go.
Thank you. I feel like I'm spiraling. I appreciate
that. You don't feel like that.
Always.
You can't. Well, okay. So sure, you're a self-defeatist.
Yes.
But, you know.
Always.
Even like I was watching your Netflix special and you're just like the whole thing where you say something as though it's something anyone else on earth enjoys, and then you look around befuddled because no one in the crowd is. That is you. In a nutshell.
Thank you. Yeah, right, you don't realize how...
You're welcome.
How off you are until you say something. You're like, right? And people are like, no. No, not at all.
Not at all.
I can't even pretend to go along with that. It's just wrong.
Well, I'm 50 now, and I'm at a point where I kind of want like a steady life and a relationship. I want more normal stuff that I've been doing stand-up since 1990. I never pursued any of that stuff, and that's kind of the stuff I want now. Like, you know, your priorities change as you get older.
It is true. That is very, very true.
Do you mean kids?
No. No.
Good Lord, no.
No.
Yeah.
I haven't dated a woman that can have kids in a long time. Not my style anymore.
So, and actually you talk a little bit about a breakup in your new... I'm very excited for you. The Netflix special is really good.
Thank you.
I did watch it with people who I could tell after a couple minutes, they were like, oh boy, this guy's really dirty. And I went, all right, I'll watch this by myself.
Yeah,
later.
Yeah, absolutely.
No problem. Yeah, oh, the best, the dirtiest.
Yeah.
You've taken our heads, Clint. We talk about you on this show fairly regularly.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Your appearance on our little podcast was one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, you probably don't even, I'm sure, because to you, it's like the thing that you say on stage you think everyone is going to agree with. But there was a time when we found out something about Golden
Water sports.
About water sports.
Sure.
That we didn't realize.
Yeah.
We just thought it was this one thing. It turns out it's this whole other thing.
Sure, a beverage.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you were like, I don't spill.
He's like, what are you guys talking about? And that, I mean, I can't tell you how many times we've just sort of, you know, gone to our Jim Norton shrine and been like, Jim, thank you for, you know, telling us the truth of things so we can avoid them like the plague.
Yeah, it does. It's not for everybody.
No,
and
but
it
is for some people.
It is, but you know what the problem is, too? That you put so much of it out there that now I'm very Googleable. So I've been on all these dating apps and, you know, Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, you know, Grindr for trans girls. And like, no matter what app you're on, somebody Googles you and it turns somebody off. So.
But for everyone it turns off, the right one might come your way.
Yeah, that's I like your attitude, but it's more like for every one that it turns off, it turns five more off.
Do you ever find yourself, have you, I should say, ever found yourself where you say to someone, you are too freaky for me?
No.
Absolutely not.
Where I say to someone, no, because if there's something I don't like, I won't do it. But I don't, for some reason, people open up to me, and the amount of deviance that people have in their minds, and I mean every kind of fantasy you can imagine, but there's nothing that I would, there's things that don't turn me on. Mm-hmm. A lot of things don't turn me on. I've had women confess things that just did nothing for me sexually.
Right. Or were you willing to do them for them?
No, it wasn't something I could do.
Oh, well, I see.
Because it wasn't their desire to be with a human. Really bizarre stuff.
Well.
Not my thing at all, but if that's what she likes, hey, enjoy that thought, but if it's not, doesn't turn me on, I can't engage.
Well, people, I'm sure, open up to you because they feel like you've opened up to them. Like, I actually think that while, you know, some of your proclivities are not for everyone, most of them, you are being honest, and you do tell stories even from your childhood that it's like, no, that didn't happen to me. But the fact that it happened to you and that you're open about it, of course people tell you. They feel like you're a safe person to tell that to.
Yeah, that always feels good when people will email me or whatever and go, hey, man, I'm really glad you talked about that. But it's like, it's not even shocking to me because it's my life.
Right.
And I'm surprised that people are so surprised by it and so, you know, so taken back by it because most of it just seems normal to me. I mean, as long as you're not having sex with somebody underage, you're not hurting anybody, like, who cares?
Right. Do whatever you want
to
do.
Yeah. That's a great attitude to have alone. I'm 50 and alone. So maybe I'm not the role model for anybody in a relationship.
But on the other hand, maybe you are. I don't know. You know, there's no judgment here. This is a judgment-free zone, more or less, you know.
I know.
We'll talk about it later. Don't worry. Once you're gone, we're going to be like, oh my God, can you believe Jim Norton said this and that?
Do you ever find yourself feeling like, because that is such a, I don't want to say sexy, because sometimes it's not sexy.
At all.
But right. But you probably find yourself going, you know, I like a lot of other stuff besides sex, too. Like, I know you're a huge music fan,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
So do you ever find yourself like, can we talk about anything else?
Yeah, I go wherever people want to talk about it. I understand that, like, it's kind of people want to ask you because, you know, I talk about my own life and people that find it interesting. But, yeah, I'll talk about anything.
Right.
On stage, I talk about sex, but it's not the whole act at all. I mean, it might be 15% of the act or 20% the other, you know, 75-80% for someone who can't do math, like, is other stuff. You know what I mean? It's not all about it. But the sex is the stuff that stands out because it's personal and it's mostly true.
It's true.
If anything, I understate it. If anything, there's things I edit out.
Look at you in your old age. You know,
I know.
It's really putting it through a filter. God,
I know.
Can you believe we all got to 50?
I know.
Like, it just doesn't seem that likely.
I know. I still date women in their 20s, though, which is really great.
Well, of course.
I know. I try to, at least.
Yeah.
They don't always go for it. But
I was actually thinking about you all the time this morning. And I was thinking, like, and I think didn't we talk about this first thing when we were talking about Jim coming on? About how, like, do you think that you'll ever get to a point where you're like, nah, I'm done? You know, I've done it all. I can't do anything further than that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been deviant in quite a while. Like, you just run out of steam with it. You run out of, like, once you do, you try most of what you've
already... I wouldn't be enough for you, you know, that maybe you would... but then if you reach the depths, then maybe, you know, I would. Maybe that's why on Hinge and Tinder, et cetera, people are like, I just don't think I'm enough for him.
No, it comes full circle. Because all of a sudden, you don't need the bells and whistles. You just want somebody to kiss you and say they love you. You just want to hug.
I can totally see that you would be like, you know what'd be weird right now is missionary and kissing.
Yeah, exactly. Can we just pretend that we're actually the people we really are?
All right, so that's 15% on sex. Let's talk about, I want to talk about your radio show.
Sure.
So you are, this has gone through several evolutions, but how are you on tour and also pulling off a radio show?
Well, we don't work Friday. We work Monday through Thursday on Sirius. So it's like, I can.
Convenient.
It's awesome. We fought for that. We do an hour earlier. Do you guys start at 6?
We start at 5:30.
Oh my God. We were starting at 8 last contract, me and Sam Roberts.
But I would love to start at 8.
But you know what though? You miss East Coast drive time. So they wanted us at 7. So we negotiated and said, all right, Monday through Thursday, we'll give you 7. So now we go 7 to 10 live. And 10 to 11 is either live or replay, whatever we want.
Right.
It's a pretty great schedule. So I'll come out and just do gigs. I'll leave Thursday after the show, normally come out, do my gigs, go home Sunday, be on the air by Monday.
Well, the big days are the Friday and the Saturday.
Friday, Saturday, yeah. But I love it. I love it. Just the getting up stinks. You never get used to it. It never feels good. I complain. Every dumb comic I know is like, I hate getting up. And I'm like, I know. I've been doing it every day for 15 years. It sucks.
Yeah.
And it's never easy.
And they only have to do it, you know, a couple days a week when they come in to promote something, you know.
How many comedians are lazy? It's amazing how many guys don't want to get up.
You would not. And I'll tell you something. We have had so many cancellations. Somebody's show is sold out. They're canceled. That is it. They are not getting out of bed for a 7 o'clock appearance.
That's the beauty of me. I'm always a safe booking because you know it will not be sold out in advance.
Oh, will you stop it?
You know the kid is showing up.
Stop it. That is not true. That's not true.
But you know, it's funny. Even when it is sold out, because I do radio, I know how much I hate that. I honor it anyway. And a lot of times you don't want to because you're like, I just want to stay in bed. But I hate when people cancel because ticket sales.
You know, one of the stories that you've told, I think it was on our podcast years ago, but it was about how when you were younger and doing stand-up, and then you'd have the whole morning after a radio show to just be filling time.
Sure.
Whether that was with, and I don't know if that was, I mean, I know one of the things you said was prostitutes.
Yeah, at one point, sure.
Right. And it was just kind of like, oh my God, how do you fill a day now?
You know, a lot of times you're online, you're on the computer, watching Netflix. The prostitution thing, I have nothing against it. I still think it should be very legal.
Absolutely. I'm 100% with you.
But as time wore on, like, it's the whole idea of trafficking, I just couldn't get that out of my head. Like, I just can't. It just didn't feel right. Like, I can't in some peripheral way be a part of that. It just felt wrong.
Oh, so you're saying because illegality, you know that there's bad things going on. And
it was just a decision I made for myself. It was right. It just wasn't comfortable anymore. And plus, as you get older, you just don't want to do the same stuff you did anyway. Right. And I always fall in love with sex workers. Always fall in love with sex workers. Like, a lot of guys are
and
like...
And they love you, too.
I hope so. Yeah. Because I literally would always...
I'll see you tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
I love them so much. All I want to do is marry a sex worker who's, like, done with the business, who won't judge me, and I won't judge her, and it's okay, we're both dirty.
It's Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
But I'm not
Richard Gere, and I don't need right. You know, Julia Roberts.
He'll take some banged-up hoes.
Absolutely.
It's fine. You know?
Hell yeah. I'll take the one that caused the guy to hang himself in the shower.
As long as it wasn't you, oh, baby, boy. Come to Papa.
I'll take Annette. Remember her? She was the good one.
Jim Norton is here with us in the studio, and he is at Cobb's all weekend long, and you should go and see him. Not a show for prudes. We say that about our secret show, too. You know, I think people need to know where they're
at. Sure, of course.
You know, for sure. But you have some big fans, too. Listen, the beginning, I don't know how much of the beginning of your Netflix special you want me to give away.
Well, you can. Yeah, yeah. It's been yeah.
But, like, you're friends with Robert De Niro.
Yeah, I asked him to do the opening, and I had done something with him before that, and that was his office. I was shocked that he said yes.
I don't want to spoil anything in that beautiful little clip, though. That alone is worth your Netflix subscription for next week. That was so funny that, you know, you're hard-pressed the rest of the thing, he walks out and he's all like, yeah.
It's very hard to follow it, but I didn't tell Netflix I was doing that. I got De Niro, and then Louis and Gervais are also in it.
They're also great.
Yes, yeah. It was supposed
it's just
to,
that
the De Niro was De Niro.
Right,
Bob.
I originally got I got the three of them, and I did not tell Netflix I was doing it at all because I didn't want a bunch of lawyers getting involved and going, right. Well, they have to sign this, blah, 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 blah. So I just got them. I got them done, and then I presented it to Netflix. They saw it when it was actually shot live for the special, like when they saw it when it aired.
So you played that on the back screen because it seemed like the audience had just seen that.
They had.
You see it barely kind of fading out as you're walking on.
And that's why I do it like that. Stage. I let you see. I've done that three different specials with different people. But I start on the audience screen, and then I pan back so it's clear for the viewer at home.
Right.
But the audio you're hearing is filtered. You can hear the same audience the audio is hearing, and you can hear them laughing because it's real reaction.
Right.
Someone told me, you should just shoot it first and then put in the laughs. I'm like, that's awful. You can't do that. Or somebody told me to shoot it and not have any laughs. Just show that and then walk out. And I'm like, you're really missing the point of a comedy special. Yeah. You show the audience, and if they don't laugh, well, then it bombed.
Then it wasn't funny.
I just looked you up on Instagram, Jim Norton, and you don't post.
Very rarely. I don't post a whole lot.
Like, you've got a Netflix special out there, and you're not posting.
I don't have Twitter on my phone. I still use it occasionally, but it was just too much. It was that whole, the drug of, like, the little red dot. The little, did you like my post? Did you like my post? It was so needy and disgusting. Mm. I do it, and then I delete it from my phone. I'll post, and I'll delete it from my phone.
So when you really have something to say, you put the app back on
right.
You say it, and then you just go away.
Or I'll do it from my home computer, yeah.
The hell with the trolls.
Yeah, and not even them. It's the positive feedback was I caught myself on some tweet just checking my likes, and I'm like, you needy little creep, just stop it. At that point, 49 years old, what are you doing? Just sitting there hoping everybody, how many little hearts did I get? Like, it's just disgusting.
That's so as an addict, myself, I'm an addict, and that's the addict behavior, though, where you're like, I'm going to just have all this, and then I'm going to throw it under the trash and put dog poop on top of it so I never go back to it again.
Yeah.
And then you're back there again.
Of course you are.
There you are, scraping the dog poop off of it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
No, I guess I might be one good sig in here or whatever I've
But it is.
Away.
So you're saying you're checking likes and finding yourself
likes.
Like, I'm ashamed of myself.
Yeah, it's because it's unnecessary. How much feedback do I need? I get feedback every night on stage. You know, the fans, if they want to say something, they can email me. Instagram comments, how much feedback does a man need? Like, how much constant adoration? It's embarrassing. So I take it off my phone. I try not to check at mentions. It's not even for trolls. It literally is just the good stuff also.
Because you can get sucked right into this whole little fake world.
Yeah, or you get angry at people. I've caught myself wanting to comment to people who were saying things that were none of my business. Like, if I'm not following you and you make a comment, what you just said is none of my business because you're not speaking to me. Right. And yet somebody would weigh in and I'd want to go, hey, I don't like that. I'm like, what are you doing, you hen? Shut up. Shut up. It's not your business. So, you know.
Agreed. I agree.
It just became this thing where people just love to comment and pile on. And everybody wants to be heard. And it's not always a bad thing, but it was just I was putting too much energy into it mentally, and I just said enough.
Are you doing any acting currently?
Nothing now, no. But I'm doing an independent film in June, and there was something I was supposed to possibly shoot, and I shot a scene for The Irishman. I don't know if I'll be in the final cut. I hope I'm in the final cut.
That's a Martin Scorsese movie. Yeah. And who is the star of that, The Irishman?
De Niro, Pacino, Pesci, Harvey Keitel.
That's not where you met De Niro, though.
No, I met him before that. But
he
I was
put in a good word for you, like, yeah, let's get
he
this
He might have. Do you know, he was in my scene. I mean, him and Pesci are in the scene I shot. I played, Rickles on a nightclub stage at the Copa. So I have, I'm doing, you know, Rickles' act, and then I have to pause.
Oh, my God, that's so funny, Jim.
I just hope it stays in.
It will stay in. Oh, my God, I never really thought about that, but I can picture you doing a Don Rickles.
Yeah, and I didn't have to audition for it. They said that Scorsese watched a couple of my specials and just to see if I could do it.
Right.
And then he's like, yeah, hire him. And,
Scorsese just checked you out.
But they took the pressure off because I didn't have to go in there and do a read.
Right.
And I just had to go in there and meet him. Like, you have to go in there and talk to him.
Yeah.
And it was really surreal. Like, you're sitting there just talking about stand-up, which was comfortable because it was stand-up. If I had to talk about acting, or if I had to talk about, you know, the role of a police officer, I would have panicked and just sat there like, I love Raging Bull, Marty. You know? But the fact that it was stand-up and I'm qualified to talk about stand-up, it was comfortable. It was really just talking to another guy about comedy, and that's all it was.
So just a day or two shoot? And
one day shoot.
You may or may not make it into the movie? And
you hope so. You don't want to get your hopes up. If I make it in, I'll probably be in the background, the peripheral. Because for me, you know, it's a part of a true story, obviously, about, you know, the Irishman who was an assassin in the 70s. And there's a mobster there who gets killed that night, and he saw Rickles the night he died.
Oh.
So I'm part of his last night alive.
Do you
so
have lines other than the onstage stuff, or you're just
no,
in the back?
No, it was just on stage. And they were actually lines that Rickles did that night, so I had to kind of rehearse. And it was really weird because I'm doing all these Rickles lines, and of course the extras are laughing because they're extras. But then when it's time for the cameras to turn around and face the audience to get De Niro and Pesci's line, Scorsese came over and he goes, Mr. De Niro requested, could you just do your own material? Because he wanted to hear something fresh that he hasn't heard so his laugh will be natural. So I'm standing there just kind of looking at De Niro and Pesci. I'm dressed in a tux like it's from 1975 and I'm just doing my act and I'm watching De Niro and Pesci enjoy my act. It was very surreal, much different than tonight's going to be. It was really surreal. But it was one of those moments where you're like, yeah, this is fun.
Okay, you know? So this is all, this attitude though is self-protection. You want to be in this movie. Oh, you have to
want
to be.
I literally want this more than I want my parents to be healthy. I want to be in this movie so badly.
I can imagine. It sounds unbelievable to think that you're going to be there waiting for your scene and it's cut. It's going to be
heartbreaking.
It would be heartbreaking.
Pivotal scene, though. Some guy gets murdered there that night, and like there's them in the audience. Like it sounds like
he doesn't get
you're
going
to have to be.
He doesn't get murdered in that moment, but it's right before. But it's possible they'll keep it in.
They're keeping it in.
I hope so.
I'm sure that you do.
I hope so.
So you're playing Cobbs tonight.
Yes, tonight and tomorrow.
Two shows, one show?
Nights? Two each night, yeah.
Two each night. Great.
And then what? You just fly home and you do your 7 a.m.
to radio, and I my next gig is in May. I've taken a little bit less this year because, again, the older you get, like I want to have a goal. Once I have something lined up to shoot, then I'll barrel through with every weekend again. But you start to burn out and get bored. So I go into the Comedy Cellar every night and just work on material.
Oh.
Then I come out, and my first 15 will be new. So it keeps it fresh and it keeps me from getting bored.
Wait, every night you'll just go by and work out your set?
Yeah, the Comedy Cellar in the city.
But
yeah.
Leading up to
a gig.
Oh, okay. Not like on the regular.
Not while he's doing radio, no.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'll usually
nap during the day?
No, I'm a terrible sleeper. I'm just tired. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'll usually do like an 8 p.m. spot or Thursday and then, you know, be home by 9:30, be in bed by 11 or 12 and get up.
How long is your commute in?
10 minutes.
Oh, so nothing. And do you get there super early and prep or are you?
Oh, that's such a great question. I literally walk in 5 seconds before the theme music starts.
I'm so jealous.
Do you have to get here early?
Yeah, we get here early. I mean, what time do you arrive? Listen, I get here at 5:05 every morning. I know. It sucks. I love it. I do it for you, listener. I do. It's an honor to be part of your life. You're right. You never get used to it. And if I could roll in here at 7, and I mean, you know, okay, I guess you can.
What time do you go to bed?
7:30.
Do you really?
Every night.
I admire that. I admire your ability to do it because I can't sleep. But, you know, someone told me Stern does that too. Like, he'll go to bed, gets up at like 2 or 3. Like, I just can't do it.
Right.
I lay there wide awake. I can't sleep. It's a stand-up.
It's a stand-up thing,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, nighttime is your time. You know?
At 7:30 p.m.?
Yeah, I go at 7:30.
But, okay, the opposite of that, though, is could you go do stand-up at 11 p.m.?
I couldn't go do
nap-jerking at 7 p.m.
Well, that's because you got up at 4. So I could go see comedy. I could never go be a stand-up, but for sure I am a night owl.
Like, you could be tonight, a nightlife person.
Today I'm going home, I'm taking a nap, and I'm going to make it to midnight if it kills me.
Yeah, you
it's
want
almost
to,
like
right?
in protest to the fact that I get up at 3:45 every morning. Like, I'm going to sleep as late as I want tomorrow and totally screw up my entire routine, so I'm not good again until Tuesday.
Is there anything worse than on Sunday when you're trying to go to bed because you have to get up? It happens to me every week.
And you're laying there every week. Sleep.
Yeah, I just can't do it. I'm an insomniac.
Yeah.
I picked the wrong profession.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
the wrong profession. The two opposite ends of the,
And yet you're doing well with it, though.
Do you know what's funny, too? When I used to, when Artie was still on Howard, because Howard's out at the end of the hall from us.
Poor Artie.
I love him, but I would get there and I would see him almost every morning in the elevator. We'd walk up, we'd talk in the elevator. He would go to the right and I would go to the left. And I'm like, this guy does heroin and he's getting to the station the same time I do. I can't get there earlier than Artie. So that shows you how horrible a sleeper I am. Artie Lang would walk in at the same time I do. He's such a sweet guy, too.
I know. Have you seen the recent pictures? His nose is just gone.
First time I saw that was when I did actually a scene on Crashing. I came in. And I was talking, and his nose was messed up. He's like, "Yeah, man, I got pun." And he went through the story.
It's heartbreaking.
It is, man. I mean, he's still alive, though.
He's so talented. Well, you know, right. So I guess
he's got a shot.
Hope, right?
He's got a shot.
Absolutely.
All he's got to do is stop. He's got to have one moment of clarity, and then
that's the easiest thing to say. All he's got to do is stop.
I know.
Listen, Jim Norton, I don't even want to end on that note, but we're out of time.
Okay.
Cobbs this weekend. It is so good to see you.
It's good to
Everybody,
see you too.
Check out that special on Netflix.
Please
check
do.
Out Jim Norton at Cobbs. 2 shows tonight, 2 shows tomorrow. Come back soon. And
I love you
luck.
Guys.
Continued great success with everything you're doing. Jim
Thank
Norton,
you guys.
Everybody.
Thank you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's Morning Show. Hey, Brent, I need a promo here.
Oh, you got it.
Thank you so much. Hey, everybody, it's Friday. It's such an exciting day. Boy, the last hour has been a whirlwind. Thanks again to Jim Norton, who's at Cobbs all weekend long. And to Brian King Joseph, who just blew our doors off with that violin thing.
Yes.
He's got the crazy, wild electric violin.
I still have chills.
I know. So good. What a nice person, too. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just so... Just grateful to be him. Yes, I wake up every morning. It's me. Yay!
And then he looks at that hot-ass girlfriend.
I know. He goes, "Hey, things are going okay for Brian King Joseph." So we're gonna do the news here. Here we go.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by RadioAlice.com. There's an entire digital department here at Alice that just whittles away crafts and codes and. Posts and does all the stuff at RadioAlice.com.
Contributes to your newscast.
Sure.
You'll have the absolute very best web surfing experience at RadioAlice.com.
Where you learn how to surf the web.
You want info on shows? The show season's just getting started, and you can get all the info at RadioAlice.com.
Yep. All right.
All right. Here's what's happening.
Can't wait.
This is breaking news. It looks like Julian Assange is about to be thrown out of the Ecuadorian embassy in London. They say within hours or days, maybe, but they say he's broken their rules so many times.
They say he's such a slob.
Like, they've had it.
eats like a pig and just stinky. Like, right, he's stinky. They've had it with him. And so now what's going to happen? Like, is he just going to get picked up on the street when he gets kicked out?
Yes.
And extradited back here?
He is.
Fantastic. It's
they
time.
Say his life's not at risk, but he's violated the agreement that we have so many times, he's being thrown out. Mm. I guess he jumped into the embassy in 2012 seeking asylum there as Swedish police wanted to question him over allegations of sexual assault and rape.
Oh, so Sweden might get their hands on him.
WikiLeaks tweeted on Thursday night, a high-level source within the Ecuadorian state has told WikiLeaks that Julian Assange will be expelled within hours to days.
I bet he's sorry WikiLeaks leaked that. Because he could have slipped away into the night.
Mr. Assange is wanted by American authorities for his role in publishing secret U.S. documents. So he's got two governments looking for him.
Well, maybe we can split him right down the middle.
So that's breaking news, and I don't know where that'll land. Snap has joined. They make news
oh my
today
God,
as
what?
They say they announced yesterday they're joining online gaming and allowing people who are friends on Snap to be able to play games together too. Uh-huh. I don't know the details of that.
That's good news for your stock prices though, Vin.
As an investor in Snap, I can say I should
did you
say,
vote yes on this?
I barely can use Snap.
I see.
But I do like it and did invest in it thinking it was a great idea.
Well, all the kids seem to know how to work it.
Don't follow me, though, for your investment advice because I'm still at less than half of what I started with.
Don't laugh at that.
Don't laugh at that.
Sorry, I mean, I hit the wrong button.
Right.
Which one did you mean to hit?
Oh.
So the news is out there that the real estate market may be cooling, finally.
Oh.
After all these years of going up and up and up, yeah. Can it go up forever? Apparently it can, because this spring is white hot.
Yeah.
They're saying it's white.
Wait, I thought you just said it was cooling.
That's what you hear all winter long.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The real estate market's cooling.
Well, it's
finally
winter.
Coming down. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, home values are spiking. Mm. They're saying everything's going back
just
up again.
Just seems about, like no one's going to be able to get a house anymore. No one. Get a house. Even a condo. Nothing. There's nothing for anyone. What's going to happen? It's the end of the world.
Homeless prices aren't coming down. Seems instead they've reached all new highs.
Oh, my God. That was so loud.
The busy spring market is just getting started.
Oh, yeah. They say this is the time. People want to buy, you know, buy now. They can move over the summer, start their kids in a new school system the next year.
Well, and look, I mean, we've seen it in the news, and I don't know how it plays out, but as it made the news at the beginning of the year, a bunch of tech companies are going to go launching IPOs. And so a bunch of people here locally are about to get rich.
Right.
Stock rich.
Millionaires are going to go.
And whether or not they're able to access that money right away, they certainly can hold that up to a bank and say, I'm worth this.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like a loan. I'm going to go get a house.
Maybe they'll go. At the bank, they'll be like, yeah, well, we saw what happened with Snap, so we're going to hold off on it.
Oh, burn.
We're going to. Let's see how that looks in 6 months.
This is really bad news for Carlos Silver of the Dominican Republic.
Carlos Silver.
You ever try to get a Guinness Book of World Record?
I've thought about it.
I thought that I would, when I was like 7,
yeah,
that I would pogo stick the longest of all time,
yeah,
and get
what
into
is
the,
what's the record?
What'd I don't you, I don't remember at all, but I do remember that I could just go out there and just go and go and go.
And then what your mom would call Guinness and be like, he did it.
I didn't mean it like
206,000 bounces.
Oh my goodness!
Jesus,
no,
that
they
is
have
a lot
to be there.
Bounces.
The officials have to be
I know,
there, right?
I was kind of kidding. Well, when you're a kid, though, you go, yeah. Mom, I did it. I did call Guinness Book of World Records.
They say it took him 20 hours and 13 minutes.
Yeah, see, that's what you're looking for is just the how long do you got to do this? And I could sit out there in the front of the house and just go, go, go. Just going, and I'm still going, one arm. Look.
Yeah. I can just do
one
this
leg,
forever.
Like the whole thing, I got it. I could do this. This guy, Carlos Silva of the Dominican Republic, wanted to sing for the most consecutive hours.
Oh.
He was going to get the record.
There's a record for that?
There is.
What
the
is
the Guinness
it?
World Record is 105 hours of singing.
Of just nonstop.
Well, you get a little break, and that's where he went wrong.
Uh-oh, what happened?
He just sang for 106 consecutive hours to break the Guinness World Record of 105. But when his almost 5 days of singing were done, he learned he'd come up short.
Why?
Because the rules allowed him to take up to 30 seconds between songs, But the video footage shows him taking a few breaks that were over 2 minutes.
Oh.
So all of those hours
were for nothing.
Wasted.
Well, he still got to sing all those hours.
Is it still fun singing at that point?
No. But I'm trying to find a bright side. You know.
So bummed,
I do love
Carlos.
Singing, but it's true. After a couple hours, you're like, eh, enough of that.
Time for bed or anything.
Yeah.
But this.
Right. Oh, poor Carlos Silver. Well, he'll have to try again.
Do you think he will?
Well, he actually made it 5 days. Like, that's amazing. Or however many days that was. A little over four?
I don't know.
Oh, it is his second attempt at the record.
Oh, burn.
Well, yeah. He should poor know Carlos. He could only take 30 seconds between songs.
I tried it first time in 2016.
Do they have to all be different songs?
I don't know all the rules.
Can you just keep rotating two songs? Or
I gave
the same
up my
song?
Bid for the Guinness Book of World Records when I was seven, Sarah, and I haven't looked at that book since. I want no part of it.
We wanted to do the longest bunny hop. What did we try to do? We've tried to break a couple things.
Here with the show?
Me and you and Vinny in the early days. Didn't we try to get a bunny hop going or something?
We did something on the Golden Gate Bridge at one time.
Right. I don't think we ever did it, though. Mm-hmm.
Liz Smith is the director of nursing at a hospital in Brighton, Massachusetts.
Oh, Brighton.
You know
it's
it?
Right outside Boston.
Yeah. About 2 years ago, she got obsessed with one of her patients, an 8-month-old baby named Giselle.
Why?
She noticed Giselle being wheeled down the hallway and asked another nurse about her. It turned out that she had a bunch of issues because her mom was a drug addict.
Oh, no.
She was less than 2 pounds when she was born.
Boy.
The nurse told her when she was inquiring about this little girl, Giselle, the nurse told her that in the 5 months Giselle's been there, no one has come to visit her.
Oh, my God.
This little baby has no one
to
in the world.
Touch her and love her.
Social services had been trying to place her in foster care. So that night, Liz decided, I'm taking care of this baby. She's in her 40s and doesn't have any kids of her own, and she's always wanted kids, so 3 weeks later, she got permission to take Giselle home temporarily. That was 2 years ago, and although Giselle has some health issues thanks to her drug addict mom, she's doing a lot better now, and Liz was finally able to officially adopt her late last year.
That is so sweet.
She has a mommy that loves her now.
Oh, look at that little doll.
Mm-hmm.
She's a doll. She has, how when you want to make sure someone knows your kid's a girl, you put the little bow with the mm-hmm. flower on
yeah,
it. She's got
that's
that.
That's always funny.
Yeah.
I prefer just earrings.
this is her now.
Yeah.
Oh, this is her as the
8-month-old
baby.
Yeah, this is her now. Look at her.
Oh, my God. She's so, look at her.
Put after it to the camera.
After 533 days of showing our love. Of sharing our love and our home, today we share our last name. Oh my God, that's so cute. Here's the new picture.
Really neat.
If you're looking at the looking glass, I'm holding them up there in a little black and white picture. That's you know what? What a nice story. There's so many people with so much love to give. Thank you, Human.
Our Friday Very free cute. Love story.
Friday Human free love story.
Yeah.
I had to research this study a little bit.
Oh, boy.
Because
research.
I thought, this sounds like boys got together and came up with some story to convince girls to do stuff they don't want to do.
It's always the way.
Turns out this study was done by women.
Mm, let's hear
Sarah.
It.
Sarah.
Let's hear it. I want to hear this.
According to a new study out of Leiden University in the Netherlands, if a lady's, how do I put this? Gulp. If a lady's willing to swallow, they say it helps out future pregnancies because
really?
It reduces your chances of a miscarriage. They say that particular act allows a person's body to get more used to that particular, beverage.
Is there a source? Can I?
Oh my
yes,
God.
Yes. Leiden University in the Netherlands.
L-E-D-O-N.
Did this study. They published it in the Journal of Reproductive Immunology. Which
they
is
do
a
say
legit-
that sometimes you reject a pregnancy because, like, your antibodies fight it.
That's what I just said. It's legitimate.
Still not doing it. Luckily, I've had my kids, and
I knew
never
I did
have
it
to
for
do
a reason, Sarah.
Yeah, well,
it helps prepare a woman's body for pregnancy and gets her body used to the stuff.
Yeah.
So if you're having
the
trouble,
women debated for months whether or not to release the findings. Finally, one of them let it leak. Wow.
The lead author,
they spit it out,
is a woman. Sarah.
Well, you know, good try, but it's not happening. Or it is. You know, do whatever you want, yeah. Everybody. Gross, Yuzi. Here's some orange juice. Swish that around for a minute.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you heard me. Gross.
So
I'm going to send you this article, Sarah. Just
a lot of cat
send
people
it to
out
her husband.
There.
I don't need it.
Yeah, send it to John.
Yeah, if only we were trying to get pregnant, it might actually matter.
I can't do it.
Sure you can. Just do it in the back of your throat.
I just tried.
You got to gargle.
Never going to happen.
There you go. So when you want your cat to come and you call your cat by the name and then the cat says...
go on. Yeah, it is.
Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
And the cat
says... So I'm calling my cat.
Right. Right. And the cat says, no. Or better yet, just ignores you like it doesn't have any idea that you're talking to it.
That is most cats.
You know, kitty.
You're kitty, kitty.
Right.
Kitty.
Anyway, a study was just done, and it turns out cats are, in fact, ignoring you. They do have the ability to know their own name, and in fact, they can learn a lot of commands.
Yeah.
They just don't want to or don't want to listen to you, and they're not motivated by food the same way that dogs are.
They're not.
Therefore... your cat is just giving you the business.
Yeah, my cat, actually, one of the things my cat will do, because he won't do any of the things that cats are supposed to do, like keep my house free from vermin. But if I say his name, he comes running.
What's his name?
Newton.
Newton.
Newton. Come here. Or Fat Kitty. Both he comes to. Come on, Fat Kitty. Comes
Fat Kitty.
Hi, it's fun. They want to play with me. He loves us. He's like... That's him outside my door. At night, when the raccoons are on my porch, well, just ravaging the place.
Well, right. He's saying, let me in. They're going
to
kill me.
No, yeah, no. Exactly. He won't come in. He wants to just be out there like, arr! Like, those things are going to eat you.
Oh.
But he doesn't. Oh, stop it with that. No, he's like a
that's
dog.
That's Newton.
Yeah. Right. So aggravating.
Our text number is 800-400-3697. You can text us. You can call that. That's the number.
It's a good number.
415 says, when are you guys going to do the secret show? We did one yesterday.
Yeah. We do it pretty much every Thursday.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And we were hoping to do one with Jim today, but he had to go do something else.
So we wound up doing it yesterday.
Right.
Yeah, it's there. Yeah, dummy.
And Hooman was on it yesterday. Oh, boy. Sideways rain right outside our window.
Oh, no.
It is super wet down there.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. It's good to know.
Well, there's your atmospheric river. Finally showed up.
Stop it.
Bummer.
It's just a little rain. Just a little rain.
We did the secret show, though, and Hooman was on it. He was here for that. He's here for his movie review and the secret show, and then he splits again.
Yeah.
We'll see him again on Tuesday.
Or whenever we see him next week.
In the meantime, we believe he's going to be in doctor's offices around the Bay Area.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. We believe that he's taking this time to fix his back, but he said 6 months, right? So August. He'll be back to full time in August or September or something.
If he's better, I imagine.
Right, you know, those potatoes work. All he eats is baked potatoes. No fancy, no salt, no butter, nothing good on them. Just he'll eat them cold, bites them. Like an apple.
I don't know that he ever sticks to the diets that you see him on because he never seems to change weight as you would expect.
Yesterday, while he still has a belly, it's weird. He has dropped some weight. His face looks
think so?
I thought so. I thought so too. Yeah. It was the first time I really noticed. I'm like, his pants were hanging off him and he looked
Because you remember,
even the belly looked less.
He was claiming vegan for a long time while
while the food baby was growing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. What is that all about?
Yeah.
Then my husband saw him eating a big ass steak.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's that. There's the veganness.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, poor vegans. Once you make that declaration, it's really hard to back down. Because then you had to defend it against all the people who are like, what are you, an idiot? And then you're like, no, I'm not an idiot. It's for my health. And then finally, you know, they catch you eating a piece of cake and they're like, you know, there's eggs in that. And you're like, I know. Vegan police. We're out there.
Good morning. This is from, can I say her name? Yeah, it's Nicole. Good morning. I would love to text you guys in the morning while I'm dropping off my daughter to work. Like when you guys say 707 or 415, say like when Vinny talks about gay guys having sex for an hour and 28 minutes, LMAO. How do I do that? I couldn't find anything on that. You just text us. It's 800-400-3697.
Couldn't text
you just
us?
Did this it, Nicole?
No, this is an email.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, no, we say that we must say the number 30 times a day.
Thanks. I really enjoy your funny comment and stories and how honest you guys are in the morning. LMAO.
I'm sure your little daughter
Thanks, Nicole.
Enjoys it too. Good parenting.
Love Jim Norton. Great radio. Great De Niro story. Please get Jim on The Secret Show.
Oh,
We wanted him to.
He tried.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of other press to do.
Anyway, I'll read the rest of the text after these.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.